somebody was repairing something. I don't know, but there you go. That's our little lost and found right there. All right, hey, Joel, take that. Joel, that's an item.
That was for the
receiving. John, thanks for reminding me of that. Thanks for letting me know. Good. Wow. Well, hey, we are moving forward here in our study of 1 John chapter 2. And really, the entire book is about growing. It's about growing. And we can relate to that because all of us, again, born, we grow as a child, we mature into a teenager, and eventually we become young adults, and we become fathers and mothers, many of us. Well, John uses that same comparison about how we grow spiritually in our relationship with God. And that's the focus, really, of this chapter. We touched upon it a little bit last week. We ended with John calling these ones little children, and we saw that the term little children is not so much like little Faye and little Addie, but it's those who are new in the faith. And so John uses this endearing term, little children, to speak of those who have just come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're just brand new in the faith, and it's exciting. It's everything is new for them, and that's what John ended with last week, writing to the little children. Little Gracely, speaking of little children. Beautiful little Gracely. But that's what we're going to pick it up today. We're going to go from verse 12 to verse, 22 maybe. And the focus again is on growing up. And once you grow up, you don't stay on the playground anymore. You become more of a soldier. You're on active duty. And so hence the name of the sermon, Active Duty, leaving the playground and growing up. So with that, we're going to pick it up with verse 12, and please God, again, help us, Lord, as we read your word to understand it, to digest it, and then to share it. We pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Growing in faith, growing in trust in the Lord, growing in wisdom, that's the focus here. So here we go, chapter 2, verse 12. John writes this, John the Apostle. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, and I might add young women, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you, and that would be true for women too, and you have overcome the wicked one. And then John goes on, he says, verse 15, don't love the world or things in the world. And when John says the world, he doesn't mean the planet, the globe, or the people in it. He means those things that are set up in opposition to God. That there are things that are, what we would say maybe worldly, that have no place for God in them. And so John is writing to these young Christians and saying, let not your love and your allegiance be for those things that are not of God. But yet instead, seek God, seek Jesus. And that's going to fulfill you. Nothing in the world is going to satisfy your longing for a relationship with God besides Jesus. And so that's what John's saying here. Don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, again, our insatiable desire to just feel good. God put those desires in us, but yet there's a safe place to fulfill those desires. Just like when I think of a fire in a fireplace, fire is good. It's in a fireplace, keeps the house warm. It's controlled, hopefully. But then you think of a forest fire, like ripping through Julian, and it's just destruction everywhere. God put desires in us in their proper place. And when they're outside those places, that's when guilt and shame and regret and those things happen. But when things are done in God's timing, it's really good. It's really good. And so, again, John says, don't love the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the things that we see, especially for men, lust of the eyes. The pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. And so I'm going to stop there. I think that's enough. As I found out this morning, I tried to push it a little long. It went too long. And so we're going to just take a nice piece today, those five verses there. Last week, again, as we're progressing through this letter that John wrote, some people might call it a letter, others would call it just a message. It's like a posting on your Facebook wall. You're kind of saying something that you want others to see that you think is important. And so John does that. It's not really addressed to anybody in particular in the beginning. A lot of the letters of Paul and Peter, they have a certain church they write to, a certain region, but John doesn't do that. He just launches right into his testimony. And John has a testimony. He witnessed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so he can write about Jesus in a very special way that many others couldn't do because he spent so much time with Jesus. And he says, that which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have touched, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. In other words, John, he really saw Jesus in the flesh. He heard Jesus talk. We always wonder, what did Jesus' voice sound like? Well, we don't know, but John knows. And John actually touched Jesus, gave him a hug, you know, received the bread from him to give to others. And man, he was an eyewitness of Jesus. And when he touched Jesus, he touched God, God the Son. That's an amazing thought. So John writes this with a sense of urgency, wanting to share this with others, especially those young people that are there. So he says, again, dear children. He starts with that. He uses these family terms of children, young men and women, and mothers and fathers. And they don't speak of necessarily biological age. We think of little children, again, as, well, some of you might think of your children as 45 years old, but we think of our children still as young kids. We think about children usually 5 and under. That's what we think of when we think of a child. And then when they get to be teenagers, we call them young men and women. And then they have kids of their own, and they become mothers and fathers. Well, John uses these terms, but yet they don't always line up with our biological age. And what I mean by that is this. Two people can go and receive Jesus Christ at 16 years old. They can say, you know, I heard the message, and I want you, Jesus. I believe in you. I trust in you. Please forgive me my sins. God, help me. Well, you become a child in the faith when you come to Jesus. That might have been true at 16. It might have been true at 30. For some people, it's true at 60 years old, the moment they open their heart to Jesus and they cry out to him and say, please help me. I need your forgiveness. At that moment, the Bible says we're born again. Jesus said that. Unless the person is born again, born of the Spirit, they're not going to enter heaven. He said you're born physically once to Nicodemus, but you also must be born of the Spirit. Sometimes these parallel each other, but that 16-year-old is a child in Jesus. Now, if that 16-year-old who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior spends some time in reading the Bible and praying, and they meet older Christians, and the older Christians help them along, and they begin to grow. Well, it might be just a couple years that they go from a child to a young man or woman in Jesus. They've matured. They grow. Just like a child can be still called a child at 10 years old, but then all of a sudden you blink and they're a young woman. You know, that happens spiritually too, as somebody spends time in the Word of God and in prayer and getting to know Jesus more and more. Now, that young adult Christian can become a mother, a father in the faith, you might say, as they have children of their own and they spend time with other Christians and they have life experiences. They can look back on their decades of life and say, wow, I trusted the Lord and he never let me down. And I want to share that with the young men and the women. You become a mother, a father in the faith. It could happen at 30 years old, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. It has to do with your spiritual maturity more than your biological age. But here, John is using this comparison. So, children. Last week we saw that there's two attributes of a child that kind of stick out. You have your own children, and you could probably say there's two things about them that you would say, oh, that, you know, that's Tatum, or that's Nick. You know, these two things about them. And John says, when you're a new Christian, the two things that stand out about you are forgiveness and fellowship. That was how we ended last week. You're forgiven of your sins. You feel so clean. Jesus came, met you, and you opened up your heart to him, and you just want to talk about it. You're so glad. Like, I'm forgiven. Those things I did in the past whether it was junior high, high school, college, whatever it was, man, God forgave me of them. I said, Lord, would you forgive me? Yes, I forgive you. Now walk in the light. We're called to walk with Jesus after that. And so that's the thing that's on their minds is forgiveness. And then fellowship. All of a sudden, somebody once had a certain group of friends and they used to just, you know, party with them, do some crazy things with them. They come to know Jesus. Now they still love their friends, but they don't want to do those things they used to do because they're not pleasing to God anymore. So they get a new group of friends also besides their other friends, and they have this closeness with them. Other friends who actually love Jesus and they want to follow Jesus. And so they enter into this thing that we call church. Now, church is not the building. Church are the people, and we know that. The church are the people in the building. I'm glad we have a place we call the church, Hillside Community Church, been here since 1890. But really, there's no church without the people in the church. It's just a building. We could use this building for anything. You know, you could play bingo in it. You could play a game of baseball, whatever. You could put wrestling mats out and, you know, wrestle. The church are the people in the building. And so fellowship, being with others, is so important to a young Christian. But then we grow into young adults. And again, things change. We become more developed, more mature in our faith. And the Bible says we put on the full armor of God that we can stand against the enemy, the devil. And so we have a vigor, a zeal in our life that the enemy, the Bible says we have an enemy called the devil, would like to snuff that out, would like to divert our attention with temptations and with fear tactics and busyness, fatigue, false teachings that are out there. And so the faith of a young man or woman is being proved daily. They have opportunities to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this. I'm having a hard time, but Jesus, I know you're with me. I'm going to trust you. And so every time we trust Jesus on something, we grow stronger in the faith. Then, of course, we walk with Jesus for a while, decades pass, and we live out our faith over the years. Somebody thought it was just going to be a passing thing in our lives. They said, oh, you'll get over it. You know, you'll get through that thing. Religion, you'll get over it. But we kept on saying, no, we got a relationship with God. It's not a religion. And now 30, 40 years, 50 years down the line, you become the mother or father of faith. You lived out your faith. And again, a faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. And your faith has been tested, you mothers and fathers of the faith. And so you advance, you progress. Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Christian lives ought to be progressing. Now, does that mean that Herb, who's been a Christian for 65 years, is greater than Sarai, who came to Christ, you know, when she was 3? No, it doesn't mean that. They both are serving Jesus, loving Jesus in the capacity that they have. So it's not like one of them retires and says, put it on cruise control, I'm done. And the other one says, well, but I'm just learning, so I got to catch up to you. No, no. We're looking to Jesus. As wonderful as Herb is, I'm not looking to Herb as my spiritual guide. Now, he's a great source of counsel for me. I love him. He's a father of the faith. But ultimately, Sarai and Herb and Uni are all looking to Jesus. We elevate him, not a person. Certainly not a pastor. I'm here for a season, and man, I am a sinner saved by grace, and I'm so glad that Jesus is my Savior. I don't ever want you to put me on a pedestal. I'm not meant to be that. I'm just given this time in my life to share the Word of God. That's awesome. I love it, and I'm so glad that we're together during this time of our lives. But that will change. I'll be gone, and my memory will be no more, but we'll focus on Jesus, and that's good, always good. Pastor David Jeremiah, another really terrific pastor of a small little church in El Cajon of 3,000 people. He says, the Bible is clear. God wants us to grow up before we grow old. He wants us to grow up before we grow old. Unfortunately, too many Christians grow old faster than they grow wiser and more mature in Christ. Too many remain babies in Christ their whole lives. So again, two people might have the same biological age, but they could be totally in different phases of their spiritual life in Jesus Christ. And so, how does it happen? How does this thing called growth happen? Well, Let's go through it real quick. We can parallel a child's life. And again, Jesus made that radical statement. He said that just as a person is born physically, they must be born spiritually. So our spiritual lives begin when we're born again. What does that mean to be born again? Just to trust Jesus. To say, Jesus, I need you. I know I've sinned, and it's gotten in the way of me and you, and I can't get to heaven without confessing my sins. Please, Jesus, forgive me, and would you be my Savior? That's it. That's what the Bible says is being born again. That at that moment, we go from being lost to found, from being blind to see, from being dead spiritually to being alive. You pass from death to life, John said. And that happens like that. That's called being born again. And after we're born again, the next thing that happens, just like a baby opens his or her eyes. They begin to, open their eyes, and they see things that they never saw before. So too, after we're born again and we become a Christian, we see things in a different way. We see things and understand things about God that we once were blind to. We couldn't understand them. And we see beyond the temporal that's right before us. And we look towards the kingdom of God. And so, again, we're born again, we open our eyes, and then we start our job, and our job is to grow. That's a baby's purpose, really, to grow. And as a baby grows by taking in the milk of his mother, so too we grow, the Bible says, by taking in the milk of the Word of God. That's what Peter said. Grow by taking on the pure milk of the Word of God. This is our way of growing spiritually. We read it, we think about it, we grapple with it, we apply it to our lives. But without this Bible, we're not going to grow. Just let you know, Nick didn't get the way he is by eating celery and soybeans. He ingested a lot of milk, and then of course he began to drink or eat meat, and so he nourished his body and with a lot of exercise and a lot of food. And we could tell you our food bill is like cut in half since Nick moved. And so but that's how it goes. And so we grow. Somebody said, what's Nick been doing, eating small children? That's what they said. And I said, no, he doesn't eat small children. Anyway, so, but we grow, and then we begin making forward progress. Think about your little baby that began to just try so hard to push, and they just rock back and forth. But then eventually, as you're going to see with Gracely very soon, she starts to move, like, off her little blanket. And that's progress, and that's what we do too. We begin to move away from our sins that used to just keep us in captivity, and we begin to move towards Jesus. And the Bible has different words for that. John says walking in the light. Paul says walking in the Spirit. John says walking in love. Paul says walking like Jesus. We also call it things like holiness. We call it things like sanctification, big words. But really, it's all moving towards Jesus. Being conformed more to his image instead of my image. And after a baby crawls, as you know, the next thing they usually do, well, they do sit up, I should say that. They begin to try to sit and balance themselves, but eventually they stand up, holding on to something usually. And we do the same thing as Christians. We stand up in the Lord. Things that used to knock us down, now we're able to push against them in a way. And instead of diapers, we put on the full armor of God, the Bible says, that we can withstand the strategies of the devil. We put on the shield of faith. We take it on. The breastplate of righteousness covers our heart. The belt of truth, the sword of the Spirit. All these things, Paul compares us to that Roman centurion that would never go into a battle without his armor, without his pieces of equipment that he needs to be successful. Amen from the army vets and those vets that are here, yes. And so too, we do that as we grow up. We put on the full armor of God. Again, taking on the Word of God, prayer, other Christians around us helps us stand up. And again, our diet changes from milk to meat. And we begin to take on deeper things in the Bible that we used to not understand. Now we understand them and we begin to grow. And then what's next? After you stand up, what does your baby do? Haziel is going to walk, right? That's right. And you want it so badly, but on one hand, you wish they wouldn't because they didn't used to bang their head on everything in the house. And now you're worried about them. Before, you put them down and they just did circles on the little blanket. But now She's walking. He's walking. And so too we, again, walk in Jesus. We walk in the light. And at first, we trip over things in our young Christian lives. We get tripped up. Temptations still come our way. They don't stop, ever. But eventually, we begin to negotiate our way, our path, and we do believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so we follow Jesus like a good sheep. That's what we do. He's the shepherd. I'm the sheep. If I follow Jesus, man, I avoid a lot of obstacles in life, and I walk in the light. My eyes are wide open. When somebody says, you know, you have a blind faith, you say, no, my eyes are wide open. I know who I serve. I know Jesus. I would love to tell you about him. That's our faith. Eyes wide open. And so we walk. And again, we endeavor to please God. And then that moment comes when your child speaks their first word. You know, of course, ours was always daddy. You know, that was, you know, right from the get-go. No, just kidding. It wasn't. But, you know, you can think of that word that your child said, mommy, daddy, or sometimes it's not either of those. It's some object that has been impressed upon them. Lights. I mean, that Nick was infatuated with lights, and Faye is also lights, lights. And that was one of their first words was lights. Look at the lights. And Faye says it all the time. And so we walk in the light. We speak words. And again, I can attest to this. My words changed when I came to Jesus Christ. Man, I had a whole vocabulary of words that I would freely use amongst my friends when I was young, junior high and half of high school, man. I had a mouth. But then I came to know Jesus Christ, and he gave me some new words to use. He gave me some new words. And I'm so glad for that, because I was so used to saying some of those words, I didn't even think about it. But then, it's funny, when I came to Christ, all of a sudden I felt bad about those words I used to use without even thinking about it. And then when somebody else would use those words, I would say, hey, can't you see my little brothers right here? Why are you talking like that? And they're like, you said the word last week. You said the same word 10 times. So you try to live in that newness of Christ with power of God. You don't do it on your own. You can't do it. It's the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And so you speak about Jesus. You talk about him. I can remember the first time I ever shared Jesus with somebody. I think I was 16 and a half, and I was on the Huntington Beach Pier, and a group of friends says, hey, let's go share about Jesus. Let's go, you know, witness is the word they use. And I remember walking up to somebody, and like, I just like, hi, do you know Jesus as your Savior? You know, I mean, just bam, just right to it, you know? And it's like, well, I said it. I can't believe it. I said it, you know? And you begin to talk about Jesus. It's just one of those things you do. And again, I remember telling my dad for the first time, sitting in the car, I've shared this before, when I said, and my dad, again, he was always in charge. He ran the show, and, you know, he made the money and a lot of it. And I was with him at one point, and he said something like, hey, you know, got to work a little extra, so, you know, got to pay the bills, and man, you know, you got to go after it. And I said something like, again, in my newness of Jesus, I said, you know, well, Jesus will help us with that, you know? And I think my dad looked at me like, are you smoking something? He said, no, he thought, well, Jesus, son, he said, Jesus is going to pay the bills. That's what he said. I said, well, Dad, but he can help us. You know, he can give us, and he was like, Anyway, and it took a long time. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My dad came to know Jesus as his Savior in his older age, for sure. And it was after he was at a place where he couldn't do anything. He wasn't in charge anymore. He couldn't get himself off that table. And man, in his fear, my dad said, you know, Jesus, you know, I need you. And we talked in the car, and the same way we talked 40 years before, we talked together. And my dad had just gotten that heart transplant, or he was getting close to it. I remember saying to my dad, Dad, just, you know how you got that heart, Dad, and that brought you new life? I said, Dad, you know, Jesus, he's the only one that can give you new life. And here's the thing, Dad, just like that guy in Louisiana died and you got his heart, Jesus, the Bible says, died on the cross that you could be forgiven. And I remember thinking, you know, wow, I said it. I was so afraid to say those things to my dad, but my dad received it. He said, I know that, son. I know I need Jesus. And man, I remember just as a grown man, just I had to turn away from my dad. You know, it just made me cry. And then there was that moment, my dad at 75 years old, as I shared before, at his 75th birthday, he prayed. I heard him pray for the first time out loud. and said, thank you, Jesus, for giving me this family. Thank you for my wife, my, you know, my kids. And it was, wow. It was awesome, awesome moment to see my dad growing. And a year later, he was with the Lord. He was with Jesus in heaven at 76. So we progress. We progress in this life. And again, we move forward. How do we do it? Well, again, I'm so glad for other pastors who have gone before me. And, you know, sometimes we complicate things. We do. And our growth is as simple as what Warren Wiersbe says it is. And I said it last week. I probably said it the week before. But I love the way he concentrates it. He says, the way we grow is having the Word of God within us. The Word of God within us. We read our Bibles. Then we have the people of God around us. We don't isolate ourselves. We don't try to be that person on a high hill thinking that's going to bring us closer to God. No, Jesus was with people, and he calls us to be with people. So the Word of God with us, the people of God around us, and the last one, the glory of God before us. We think about heaven. We're not afraid anymore. We know that the moment we die, man, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My last breath here is going to precede my next breath in heaven. It's going to be bam, like that. So that's how we grow. Having the Word of God within us, the people of God around us, and the glory of God before us. It's so simple. In conclusion, I guess if you were to try to encapsulate that, we just build our life on the rock. We build our life on Jesus. We become part of this thing that we call the church. Now, just backing up just a bit. Another pastor, a really good pastor that I really like, again, David Jeremiah, he put in a neat order the way that these different phases of our lives change. And I put that in your bulletin because I think there's no way I could match it. And he uses these family terms just like John, and he says for every one of these phases, there is a privilege, there's a purpose, and there's a problem. And every one of these phases of spiritual maturity has a privilege, a purpose, and a problem. And I enjoyed it so much, I wanted to share it with you. And I know that David Jeremiah would have no problem with me sharing these things. So here we go. Again, we think about verse 1 in chapter 2 and verse 12. They go together. John says this. He says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That speaks of the fact that we can be forgiven like that because of Jesus. That, yes, we shouldn't live a life that's characterized by vicious cycles of being in sin and then saying, I'm sorry, Jesus, please forgive me, and then going back to it like a washing machine. No, we ought to have some victory over these sins that ensnare us. And after a while, we begin to live in the freedom of not doing those things that we used to do all the time. Now I have the power to not do them, and I'm forgiven. So John says, hey, good news, you're forgiven. And then fast forward to verse 12. Again, he says it again. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That's good news. Forgiveness and fellowship, children. That's the privilege. Those are the two privileges. Then you get into what is your purpose? What's your purpose as a child? I already said it. Your purpose as a child in Christ is to grow. That is your focus. That's your job. Our dear daughter, Samantha, she just started Paul Mitchell School of Cosmetology. And we told her, we said, that school is your job for the next 7 months, 40 hours a week. That's your focus. Make it that priority. You got to give yourself to it if you're going to succeed. Any child who's in school, we say, that's your job. Focus on your school. You'll have plenty of time later to work at Chick-fil-A and Costco or whatever you're going to do. But right now, school is your job. And so that's the purpose of a child, is to grow. Grow spiritually. Mature. And again, how? So basic. Reading your Bible, praying, being with God's people, singing songs that please God, that helps you grow. Those are good things. And then, the problem. What's the problem with most children? Well, they're naive. They will trust almost anybody. And that's very dangerous. You want your children to love people, right? My Cecilia was that way. It's like, oh, you're, and Samantha too. Probably Samantha more than Cecilia. Cecilia was a little skeptical, which was good. But Samantha, She's like, oh, let me give you a hug. You know, I wanna welcome you. And people mistook that for, especially men or guys, oh, you must like me because you're being so nice to me. Well, Samantha is loving to everybody. I mean, that's the way she is. But the problem is some are going to take advantage of that. The same is true spiritually. A child in Christ, Jesus, freshly coming to the Lord, forgiven, they love being at church, but they leave, well, even within the church, there are wolves in sheep clothing. There are some who would like to take advantage of a young child in Christ. And they'll say something that's not in the Bible, but they'll say, oh, that's, yeah, God wants that. And so there's a naivete, and they're easily deceived. Deception. Deception is the problem of a child. False teachings, false prophets, doctrine, whatever, it's tantalizing to the eyes, it's exciting. It must be of God. No, not true. Not true. We've got to help them to discern between what's true and what's a lie. They're just beginning to read the Bible. They don't know all of it yet. We'll never know all of it, but they're still naive. So deception is a problem with them. We've got to help them. Next, we go to young men and women. That's the next phase or level, if you want to call it that, in Christ Jesus, in our spiritual maturity. And so their privilege is overcoming. Look in verse 13. It says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And again, you might as well put young women there too. They, for the first time in their lives, might be having victory over sins that used to just ensnare them and enslave them. Temptations that used to get in the way of them and God. And so now, for the first time, they overcome the wicked one by the word of God. They're able to, they know the Bible, and they say, I know that's not something I should be doing. Even though it feels good, I'm not supposed to do it because it's become, for me, an idol. It's become like a god to me, and I don't want that. I don't want to be enslaved by that thing that I know doesn't please God anymore, so I'm not going to do it. In the name of God, I'm not going to do that anymore. And your friends say, what do you mean you're not going to do that anymore? We're all skipping third period to go do that thing. And you say, I'm not doing it. I'm not, you know? And when you overcome, that's your privilege. Now, what's your purpose as a young man or woman? Your purpose is to know the Word of God. So for a child, it was just to grow, but now you want to know the Word of God. You grasp it firmly, like a soldier grasps a sword or a rifle. You handle it well. Now, you don't use God's Word to blast somebody. No, you don't do that. You don't do that at all. But you know, you use God's Word to defend yourself against the accusations of the wicked one. The Bible says that Satan is an accuser. He'll always accuse you of things of your past, even in the present. He ever lives to accuse you, but Jesus Christ is our advocate, our attorney, our intercessor, our helper that says, no, I know AJ trusted me when he was 14. Yes, that was a sin, but I covered that sin. I covered that. Now, that doesn't mean I go on sinning. I want to please God. So just like a child who did something wrong and his parents say, hey, son, we love you, you know, we forgive you. Well, we don't remind him of that sin all the time. We move on. But there are those who say, oh, remember what you were like when you were, you know, I know what you were like. You go to a reunion, a 40th reunion, and somebody, and everybody's going to come to you and say, oh, man, remember when you did like this or this, and wasn't that great? And you're like, ooh, I'm ashamed of that. You know, I wish you wouldn't bring that up. You know, the devil does that. He accuses us of things of the past. But like I said last week, as Pastor Mike said, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Again, the future for the devil is the lake of fire. He's gone. He's done. Your past is not what controls you any longer. So that's your purpose, to know God's word. And the problem with young men and women in the faith, the problem is a who. It's not a what. And that is the wicked one, the devil, Satan. In our own flesh, too, of course, our old desires that we had, that's, you know, we deal with that the rest of our lives. But the Bible says we have an enemy. And he wants to sow doubt and deceit and destruction into the lives of young men and women. He would love to take Nick and Danae, this young couple in the Lord, and young adults for sure in the faith, and bust up their marriage, have their kids experience the, you know, the pain of not seeing one of their parents anymore. And then there's animosity, there's bitterness, there's anger. And man, the enemy wants to do that. He wants to get in the way of anything that we have that's good. Whether it's a first marriage or a second marriage, it doesn't matter. But what's good is that we're following after Jesus. But the enemy doesn't want that. He wants to deter us, I guess you might say, from that. So that's the problem. We move on to the last group there, the brothers and fathers of the faith. Now, these are those who, again, have been a Christian for maybe a long time. Not only just Christian by name, but they've grown in the faith. They exercised their spiritual muscles at a very young age. They got involved in Bible study. They began to lead other people younger than them. Even if they were only 25, now they're leading high schoolers. And then as they went on and became parents, they tried to help other parents. And there was this continual progress in exercising their spiritual muscles, helping others, loving others in the name of Jesus. And now they get to this place where they're a spiritual mother or father. And their privilege is experience. That is their privilege. And this is what Pastor David Jeremiah says. They have lived the longest, survived the most fights, won the most battles, failed the most, and been forgiven the most. Therefore, their hindsight is invaluable. Their faith has been tested, and it can be trusted. This is why it's so important for us to get in Bible studies with people that are older than us, not just our peer group. I mean, there's a place for young married couples Bible study or youth group, but man, you want to be in groups that have all the ages represented, from teenager to Herb, you know, and everything in the middle, everything between us, okay? So, but we love the fathers and mothers of the faith. We love Herb and Uni, who help us. They counsel us. Now, their privilege is experience. Their purpose is to be faithful. Just remain faithful. Just stay close to Jesus. Your job might be different now as a father or mother of the faith, but you know what? Just be faithful. Just keep on praying. Keep on reading your Bibles and reach out to help those younger ones. Help them. Help them out. That's your privilege. Experience and, you might say, serving others. What's the problem? What's the problem with somebody who's older in the faith? Well, they get discouraged and they can get complacent sometimes. The Apostle Paul and the Apostle John, two people who experienced a lot of suffering and sorrow, but yet at the end of their lives, they could say, God is faithful. Let's press on. Let's keep on keeping on. Let's not grow weary from doing good. And that's what the mothers and fathers do. They encourage, just like we do as parents of grown kids. When they encounter a difficulty, we say, hey, Nick, hey, Cecilia, we've been there, and you got to press on. Don't forget this or that. I listen to my wife talking with my daughter Cecilia on the phone, and I think, wow, that's golden. What she's sharing with her is so important. Don't let this moment of weakness be your idea of what marriage is like, you know? So that's what they do. They are called to encourage. But again, discouragement and complacency happen. And so we want to press on. I know that Herb and Uni, they have done so many things in this church through the years. They were instrumental in the 70s, 80s, 90s, thousands, and they still are. They're still important to us. But sometimes you get discouraged because you're not doing what you did before. Hey, just like Moses, God has a new job for you to do. He brings people alongside you to help you. And instead of being complacent and said, been there, done that, you know, I'm putting on cruise control. No, we're called to say, you know, Jesus, I know there's some things I still don't know about you, and I'd like to be more like you. I still struggle in this area. So I'm going to press on. Instead of putting it in cruise control, I'm going to keep on keeping on. And so really to end, I'm going to say, you've heard this before. God loves you just the way you are. That's true. Come as you are. But you know what? He loves you too much to keep you that way. That's not for me. Somebody else said it great, some other great pastor, I'm sure. But God, yes, come as you are. But let God work on you. Let God take you beyond being a baby in Christ. our time as Christians isn't meant to be spent on the playground. It's not. There's a place for the playground when you're little. But you know what? That's not where you spend your whole life. You're called to go out to the battlefield. And this world is a battlefield. I'll tell you that right now. And as we're going to get into that with our parenting class today, there are things that would like to capture the heart and soul of your child and never let it go. And we know that God's way is greater. That in this world, we will have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I did it. He did it on the cross for us. So let's continue. Let's press on. And that's my prayer this morning. If you are in a place where you're stagnant and you feel like, man, it's dry, well then pray. Call out to Jesus. Say, I want to spend time with you, Jesus. I need you. I want to renew that relationship. If you are somebody who's never made that decision for Christ, you say, I've never opened my heart to Jesus. I don't even know it. I don't get it. Then this is your moment. This is it. Do it. Don't delay. And if you're doing great, if you're walking with the Lord, you're walking strong, praise the Lord. Keep on walking. Keep on doing what you're doing. And find joy in Jesus. Those are all good things. And so we're going to close with that prayer. And you can remain seated. And I'll also pray for our offering, which I think is just going to be by the back. If you have a tithe or an offering you want to give, when you do that, you can leave. We'll commit that to the Lord, and we'll pray for the food we're about to eat, too, as Chris Holman, again, has prepared some great appetizers, I'll say. If you're staying for the parenting class, don't fill up too much on what Chris brought, even though it's awesome. But we're going to pray for all those things. And so let's just bow our heads in prayer and say thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us a moment together, Lord. Not just with each other, but with you, Jesus. We spent time with you, God. We read your word. We're praying, Lord. We're singing some songs. God, we just had an hour with you. And so, God, we thank you for that. And, Lord, I am praying for those who might have encountered a plateau, Lord, a dry season, and they're just not hearing from you, Jesus. They feel like they've lost their vigor. I just pray a renewed vigor for them, Jesus, that they would want to know you in a fresh way, that they would, in a sense, Lord, rekindle a friendship with an old friend, God, and they would sit with you and listen to you, Jesus, in a new way. And Lord, if there's anybody who's never come to that place of saying, yes, Jesus, I need you, forgive me, then I pray they would pray a prayer like this in their deepest part of their heart. Dear Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me. I've avoided you for a while, Lord. I put things in place of you. But now I want you to be my Savior, my Lord. So please, would you come into my life? And Lord, make me born again of the Spirit. I was born of my mother, but now I want to be born of the Spirit. So Jesus, would you do that? Would you make me brand new? And you're hearing my prayer right now, Lord. Forgive me. Bring me to heaven, Lord. Maybe not today, Lord, but someday, would you please bring me to heaven? And I thank you, Jesus, in advance for that. You did that for me. You died on the cross for me. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, for the offering that people give to this church, Lord, thank you, Jesus, that they do that willfully. Lord, they do it not of compulsion, Lord, but because they want to. Lord, thank you for the needs that you supply for this church, Lord, in the giving, God, for our local church here in Julian, but also for those faraway places, God, those people who are on active duty that are deployed, God, Sao Paulo, Brazil, Hong Kong, China, Lord, Thailand, Malawi, all those places where our missionaries have gone with the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Be with them now, God. So thank you for these offerings, Lord. And we do also finally commit the food we're about to eat, Lord, the drink we're about to have. We thank you for it, Jesus. Thank you for people who, their gift is hospitality, and they share it with us, God. Thank you for those things. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We also don't forget the prices. We got an update on them. So surgery went well, of course, we had heard, but we're definitely going to have radiation and chemo over the next 5 months. So they'll be gone up north for the next 5 months or so. And love texts, calls, just talked to her. I think yesterday I talked to her, maybe the day before. She really, Brittany especially, could just use your prayers. It's a hard season for them right now. So praise God. At least they have a game plan and they got some good doctors, but keep the prices in your prayers. And the Williams are sick today too. Ask for prayer. So there you go. Come now, fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy mountain, fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. This my glad commemoration, that till now I've safely come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. To grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, oh, take and seal it for thy thoughts above. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Is my heart, Lord, take and seal it for thy. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. We just we boldly ask for your blessings to pour out upon our lives, Lord, your mercy and your grace, your forgiveness, your guidance, your provision, your healing. Lord Jesus, we need all those things, and we can ask you, Lord, because you loved us so much, you'd give your only son for us. You love us. Let us not doubt that this week. Let us not hear the voice of the enemy condemning us, Lord Jesus, but may we be spurred on to love and good works and encourage one another in the same vein. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
All right. Before Tony comes to dismiss, we have a few announcements. If you want to be seated, you certainly can. Or you can stand if you want to stand for announcements. That's always a good thing. I always do. One of the things you'll find in your bulletin are some prayer cards. Julian Oaks has junior camp this next weekend, and they would like you to pray for people involved in that. You might have the names of campers, could have staff, you could have counselors. I happen to have campers, Brandon and Daniel, a counselor, so be praying for them this week. So remember to look in your bulletin, grab those, put them somewhere where you will remember them, and pray for them this week. A few announcements. We provide things like sugar packets and half and half and things in the back there. Those are mainly put out there for the adults. I know sometimes the kids like to go back and fill up a cup full of half and half, and or use the sugar packets as Frisbees or whatever. But please, parents, keep your eyes on your kids and make sure that they're only using what they need to use. So remember that. This is the last call for kitchen items. If you left an item in the kitchen, I believe they're still in the kitchen, just go through the kitchen and find, and if it's something that's yours, just take it. All right, so if you find something in the kitchen that you have left there, please feel free to take it home with you. We will be donating things that are not the churches that have been left there, assumed they've been given to us, so please remember that. A draft of the new 2023 directory is available on the back table. Please look at it, double-check your entry. Make sure the spelling is correct, the dates are correct, the address, the emails, all of that stuff is correct. If it's not correct, please jot down on the directory itself there what is incorrect and what needs to be fixed. If it is correct, just initial it. There are also a list of birthdays and anniversaries back there. Please double check those, make sure they are correct, so Tony doesn't announce it's your birthday on a month when it's not your birthday. So remember that. Thank you to cleaning crew number 3. The most popular cleaning crew, apparently. They get the most applause, so remember them and thank them for helping clean the church. Tuesday morning, prayer and pretty good coffee resumes this Tuesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. It is come and go as you can, so if you can't make it till 7:30, don't say I've missed it. No, come at 7:30. If you have to leave at 7:15, leave at 7:15. It's open, so please come and go as you need to. Our second installment of Parenting God's Way, the class is today after the second service. If you are not participating, please grab your snack, your coffee, and as they begin the class, that's why all the tables are set up back there, please move into the auditorium part of the building, and while they'll close the doors, and they can have their class in the back there as well. The lunch and the drinks that are back there are for class participants only. So if you're not in the class, don't load up a plate full of lunch and start eating it. That is only if you're in the class. If you don't know if you're in the class or not, you're not in the class, so don't do that. Uni's Tuesday morning Bible study begins this Tuesday. Uni goes yay. From 10 o'clock to 12 o'clock, and they are studying the book of Genesis. Herb was there when they were writing that book, and so he's going to be able to give us some tremendous insight on that. Tuesday evening, women's Bible study focusing on women of the Bible, that's with Tina, is going to be giving us some info right here on it.
Yeah, so we are studying 16 women of the Bible, and we're kind of pairing them. It's from a great book. I already started it, so I wanted to tell, I know, a cheater. Just wanted to encourage you. It's a really great time together. The last round that we had in the evening, there's a good plenty of us, and we really bonded with each other. It was a great time. So consider one of the two women's Bible studies to really dig deeper into the Word, but also to really get to meet some friends and open up with them and encourage each other. Tuesday nights. So Tuesday in the morning with Uni, Tuesday in the evenings here at the Fellowship Hall.
All right, so Tuesday evenings. You know, there are a lot more than 16 women in the Bible, so yes. I'm assuming that the next class will be the rest, the forgotten women of the Bible will be the next class that Tina will be teaching there. Marriage Monday is next Monday, or Monday, no, it's not next Monday, it's February the 6th from 5:30 to 7:30. The cost is $10. You can sign up in the back for that secret Marriage Monday, unknown what it's about. So, and then Cheryl Turcotte is still searching for a place to rent with son Nathan. If you know of anything that's available, please let her know as soon as possible. Her number is in the directory, or you can get it from Lacey. So please remember that as well.
I think Sherry Clark also needs bride, so she didn't get one today.
Well, to drive currently, and she lives in Harrison Park and is looking for someone to pick her up for church or to take her back, either way. So she couldn't come today. Hopefully someone can step up to do that.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, with that, let's stand together and let's commit our rest of our days to the Lord and say thank you, dear God, in Jesus' name for this time, Lord. Thanks for giving us a fellowship, Lord, that we can enjoy and rely upon. And God, we do, again, commit our time to you now. Help us to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth. And God, thank you for our children, Lord, having been entrusted to our children's workers, God, that they've grown also. Just as we've grown up here, our kids are growing downstairs. So God, thank you for the season in our lives that is so good. And we ask your blessing upon the rest of our time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.
What is life? A thousand roads, a thousand ways. And why am I so afraid to move? I cross the line, I'm stepping out, so come what may, I give it all, 'cause I'm drawn to you.
as long as my heart is beating. Where you lead me, I will follow. Where you lead me, I give my life away. Where you lead me,